It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. The year was 1968, and the automotive industry was in a panic mode, looking for a prototype crash dummy that could be used as an average male, large male, and small female. Who did the brilliant minds of American ingenuity turn to?
Yo, police!
Recent historical records have surfaced proving Alexander Graham Bell's first telephone call in 1876 was not his assistant, Mr. Watson, but to...
Yo, police!
Asking him to order Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh from a crash test at Yucca Proving Grounds, your host, Paul Lavoie.
And welcome to Speak Out. It is Wednesday, June 10th, 2026. I don't know if I should mention it or not. What do you think when somebody here has a birthday? It's not a secret. Everybody likes her.
Well, I think that's awesome, but I do think it's one of those things that's kind of private. People may not want the world to know their
they
birthday.
They just don't want their age out there.
Oh, right.
Except when they have this huge party, right? But anyway.
Right.
Happy birthday, Tracy. There, I said it.
Okay, sorry, Tracy, if someone goes to apply for a credit card in your name or something like that.
Oh, stuff. Wow. You really are. What's the word? You're cognizant of that whole dark world underbelly thing.
I know, because of where I'm from, dude. Let me just tell you, it's a dark world over there.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah,
I escaped.
Found out. Anyway, I'm not wanting to get you in trouble. We already talked about this, right?
Yes, that's right.
We're ending that topic right there. All right? That's the end of that answer. Does that sound familiar?
It does.
Kind of, like a school
I had
teacher's
a teacher that
thing.
Had one of those.
Right? That's Michelle Ford, by the way. She's the membership investment manager for Havasu Area Chamber of Commerce, Lake Havasu Area Chamber of Commerce. And Brandon Bowers is here.
Woo. Hey there.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I know you're busy on election night.
I'll be busy on election night. I'll be busy up until the election and probably really busy afterward as well.
You know what's funny is if you pick a candidate and you think, they're not gonna win. Why don't you sit with me in the studio? And then why are you picking me? Because you're not going to win anyway, right? I'm kidding. No, but I was thinking of somebody who's held office or, you know, to sit here. But I've done the show by myself, too, on election night.
Well, Mark Nex is back in town. Get him in here.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Did you see him?
He just did a video with Cal the other day. So he's here. He's engaged. You should give him a call.
He's engaged.
Meaning engaged with the community and what's going
on.
Oh, I don't know what his personal life is about.
Forever,
yeah, I don't know.
I was like, wait a minute, what? That's something I don't. I mean, you know, we think about these things, right?
Yes.
So, and Brandon is the editor, of course, of the Today's News Herald, regional editor of River City Newspapers.
River City Newspapers.
Right, right. Man, you guys are all over the place, by the way.
We have papers in every city in Mojave County, well, not Colorado City, but every other one, as well as Wickenburg, Parker, Needles, and Laughlin.
I have to give Kate props. She's the bomb, right? And I'm not going to say her pen name, but, I mean, you can if you want to, but...
DK McDonald. She's our reporter up in Bullhead, one of two.
Kate is great.
She does a great job for us.
She really does.
She runs out to every breaking news story that she gets her ears on.
Man, and it's mostly police beat, right?
A lot of police beat. She does a lot, but you see a lot of police beat coverage in her name.
Right, right. So, yeah, and then you have the Parker Tube Float coming up this weekend.
Parker Tube Float. John Goody Coons from Parker will be there. I think we have...
you know that name?
Maybe one other reporter there, too.
What was that name?
Goody Coons.
Goody
he goes
Coons?
By Goody.
Yeah. I can't ever get it right when I'm, like, looking at it, but then I want to call Brendan and say, hey, how do I say this according to John, what, Goody?
Goody, yeah.
Is it like
is that what you call him?
G-O-O-D-Y?
G-O-O-T-I-E.
Okay.
K-U-N-S-T.
See, we're so good at that.
Nice.
Because we have to remember how people's names are spelled.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you've ever done television or print, because it's right there for everybody to see. Nobody wants their name spelled wrong.
Right.
Right? I get to say it wrong. No.
Yeah.
I'm really weird about that, too. But anyway, we're here to talk about, of course, the Chamber of Commerce here in Lake Havasu City and the Candidates Forum coming up.
Right?
Week. That's why I was... All right? So when we go from topic to topic, I'll do that.
Yeah, we're getting ready. I'll be your timekeeper, most likely, and I'll be sure to flag
that.
You when it's time to ding, 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 ding.
So it's a week from today,
That's right.
I've been seeing people post that it starts at 5. Well, that's partly true. Doors open at 5. The concourse, the candidates in the concourse at their tables are available for a meet and greet at 5.
Mm-hmm.
But the broadcast and the start of the event itself, when you need to be like paying attention, not just to what they're saying, but to the time.
To the time, yeah.
If you're planning
at 5:30.
If you're planning to be there in person, get there early. Get there at 5 because that place tends to fill up, and we want to make sure everybody gets a good seat. So get there in front if you can, you know. Try not to cheer too loudly because we do want everybody to be heard. But, get there at 5. It won't start until 5:30.
And Andrea told me, especially, we really want to see people out there in the seats this year.
Oh, yeah.
Out there in those chairs. Because it plays well on the radio, too. You know, when you hear the clapping or, you know, the applause points, that sort of thing. We're going to break. Andrea does a great job, I think. You and Andrea, I feel like I'm just there. Okay, well, I'm here because I'm on the radio. You know, but no, I know that you come up with a lot of the questions, and then the group as a whole, the committee, we come up with the questions, but there's some outstanding questions.
In the organization of this thing, you know, we meet several times before the event, and we come up with our questions, and we come up with the timing for each of the questions, and sometimes the number of questions we ask depends on how many candidates are involved. And this year, I think we get a chance to offer a decent number of questions because it, you know, while it's a big council candidate field, there's not as many races that we're worried about. So we basically have the council, the mayors, and the legislative races. That'll over 2 hours, that'll give us a chance to ask a lot of good questions. And I think we're seeing throughout this race already that there are a lot of interesting answers out there from the candidates.
You know, I was going to ask you that. I know that the paper does a series. Seems like every day there's a different question. Right?
Yeah, once a week.
Mm-hmm. Okay, once a week. All right. See, he knows. There you go. Yeah. Right from the source. What do you think the most interesting or the most polarizing responses have been to which issue?
Well, I think the interesting one, if I had to pin it down to one, has been the question about what, you know, it's not really a particular question, but the questions that get to the heart of what has the city, you know, the existing power structure done correctly or not correctly. So the challengers are getting a chance to say, here's what I would have done. And the incumbents are saying, here's what we did, here's why we did it, and here's why, you know, here's what I think about it and why it may not have gone quite the way I wanted it to. So it gives us more of a revelation into the way people think.
Does it seem like every year there's this limit growth crowd out there? It's like, Havasu's too big, Havasu's too big. And it's, I don't see it as that much bigger than it was when I was here in 2007.
You know, something changed in Havasu after COVID. A lot of people moved here, and there does seem to be a recent influx of residents. Now, we can't really see that in the numbers so much because I think when I moved here, we had, what, 50,000 people? I think we're close to 60, right? 60, 62, something like that. So it hasn't grown that much, but it has grown, and there are a lot of new faces in here. You can walk around town and talk to people and realize that, oh, you moved here from Southern California in the last 5 years. And so this is all new to you, and there's people who are newly engaged in the community, not married, but they are learning how the they are learning how the community works, and there's a new interest in civic politics. It's a really interesting dynamic, and one that we're seeing play out in this election season.
I even heard talk of, you remember the Main Street Arch?
Yes.
Oh,
the Gabion baskets, that's what those are called, the rust cover, you know, and some people call them the scorpion baskets because scorpions like the rocks inside. But I don't know, is something like that going to be revisited when we've had such a hard time convincing people to spend money just on, you know, Main Street Commons, it would seem like an arch would really fuel the fire.
I think there's some scar tissue about the city spending money on that kind of thing right now.
Yeah.
with
scar
something
tissue.
Like the Main
That's
Street Commons.
That's a great way of saying it. Yeah.
But I can't see it. You know, eventually I think that gets revisited somehow. Previously it was a downtown business association effort. They were going to do something there. And as I understand it, those arches are on some land that, you know, there's some issues there with the right-of-way, and the city owns the right-of-way, but they don't have the ability to build something on it. So there's some really private ownership involved that has to get settled.
There's little towns, little suburbs of Phoenix, they all have arches, right? Like, we don't even have an arch.
Arches and fountains everywhere.
Williams has an arch, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just dumbfounded how we could be stalemated over an arch.
Well, you know, I think the issue boils down to that, you know, people are struggling financially. And
true.
They're not interested, really, in spending a bunch of money for things that don't necessarily make that big of a difference.
Beautification.
Now, you know, beautification is a good thing. Lake Havasu City is naturally beautiful. We have an incredible lake and beautiful mountains and lots of wonderful people.
You're in chamber mode.
Well, no, but it's true.
I mean, know it is.
You know, every time there's something being considered by the city council that's going to cost money,
mm-hmm.
everyone's already, you know, especially, listen, single moms, hello. It's not easy out there, and things are getting more and more expensive every single day. I mean, I know when I moved here, gas was right around $3 a gallon, and now it's rivaling Southern California prices. So these are the kinds of things that I think that city council needs to pay more attention to. It's not everybody is living high on the hog, so to speak. The other thing is, it was a surprise for me to learn recently that the city council isn't who develops the agenda for city council meetings, but rather city staff. Unelected people are deciding what the city council is going to vote on. And that, I think
that's half true. Am I right?
They have a hand in it. The council has a formula to get something on the agenda.
There's
so,
input.
And it's gone through a couple of formations, so I don't know what exactly it is now. I believe one council, they need two council members to bring something forward.
Right.
Or the mayor can put it on himself.
If somebody knows better, send me a text, 928-727-5566. We have a text line.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, what
dangerous.
Is that? What's that number again?
928-727-5566. And it's not just talk radio, it's texting radio as well. We don't want to make this just listen radio, right?
Right.
So give us a call, 928-854-5687, if you want to talk to myself or Michelle Ford from the Havasu Area Chamber or Brandon Bowers. He is the editor at the Today's News Herald. And you guys are doing a great job, I have to admit.
Well, thank you.
They're our news partner.
Amazing.
Amazing,
I
right?
love that.
There's a lot to cover in this little town.
Collaboration is
there
wonderful.
Is. Well, I get my own every once in a while, and, well, more than that. But, no, I rely on Today's News Herald for a lot, so, and the Mojave Daily News.
Yeah, and we are grateful for the Today's News Herald because
mm-hmm.
you guys post our ribbon cuttings. When we have ribbon cuttings, you know,
you help with
media and getting attention to our local business owners that have ribbon cuttings.
We do. We feel like it's an important part of the community relationship. It's just, you know, for us, it's news. It's news for people that these businesses are here. So it's this system that works for everybody because we're letting people know that these businesses are here. They're chamber members. They have their grand opening, whatever it happens to be. It's news in some form. It may not be the front page, you know, banner story, but it's still something worth knowing about.
I'm getting used to opening up the e-edition. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's different, but I like it.
At the same time,
I like being able to click on a story and all of the copy comes up. You don't have to change pages, go, you know, from page one to page five.
It's a good reading experience for digital natives. We have more digital readers than ever. So, you know, we have some confidence that no matter what happens in the grand scheme of things with print, we have a digital audience here. We can continue doing what we're doing in print, in digital. And we will continue putting out an e-edition like that looks like a newspaper as long as that's what people want, and they're telling us that they do. So 7 days a week we have an e-edition.
Isn't that the edition, though, that goes that exact file or some semblance of it? Doesn't that go to the printer anyway?
Sometimes. I mean, we have three print editions a week, and those three print editions appear as an e-edition. So they're just, you know, at the end of the day, they're PDF files,
right.
And they get displayed as a e-edition. We
right.
have a program that turns those into what is called an e-edition. 7 days a week. The 3 days a week we print, those same files go to the printer and they get printed, and that's the thing you get on your driveway, hopefully, at a good time.
Well, I really like the ease of use on that. We do have a question for the chamber on our text line, 928-727-5566. Does the chamber endorse candidates?
No, absolutely not. The chamber is completely politically neutral, but what we do offer is the opportunity to, for all of the candidates that have gone through the appropriate process of gathering all the signatures and being on that with official candidate list, they all get to participate in the candidate forum voluntarily if they would like to. And there are also write-in candidates that they're not able to be up on the stage, but they are able to voluntarily and without a cost, set up a table in the
concourse.
In the concourse with all of the other candidates to be able to interface with the local voters.
Right. One writing candidate this year, right?
One writing candidate for mayor, yes.
Right. That John Grappentine is how you say
That's
that.
Right.
Yeah. We are actually going to have the mayoral candidates on again for another hour each. So, not together.
Right.
I don't think I want to go there yet. So anyway, is this, Brandon, you think, Ben, since I've been here, since I can remember, this has been the most contentious of the mayor's races, but mayor and council both put together?
We're seeing contention on both those levels. I think the only other one I think is comparable was, I don't know, a decade ago, we had Mark Nexon versus Bill Ullery. That got
was
contentious, but this seems more personal. This time around, you're seeing a lot more squabbling on Facebook. Of course, Facebook was a different animal 10 years ago, so it's hard to say what would have happened then. But there's a lot of back and forth online, a lot of it anonymous, a lot of it's just really not nice. This most contentious election I've seen maybe ever. I've covered a lot of local elections, certainly in Havasu.
It says, we have another text that just came in. Please tell Mr. Bowers not to discontinue the comics.
I have no desire to discontinue the comics.
Why would you?
I have always said comics and puzzles are the thing I would like to mess with the least.
Oh, good.
And, you know, sometimes that decision's above my head. There are people I answer to. But, no, we know that they have a loyal readership. They will always have a place in the paper. But, of course, that's a digital...
What do you get the most input on or the most feedback?
Well, certainly something like comic puzzles.
Horoscopes.
If a puzzle is misprinted,
really?
I will hear about that multiple times a day, every time it happens.
And for the next week or so?
Yeah.
Until the next puzzle comes out.
More than anything else.
Really?
Yeah.
What about orchids and Karens?
Never. Don't hear anything about orchids and onions. No.
It's the OK Club.
We get a lot of submissions for orchids and onions. The thing we hear about the most with orchids and onions is there's confusion about whether the News Herald is somehow involved in the Facebook versions of orchids and onions, and those are two very distinct things. Paper started orchids and onions as a column 20 years ago, I think, and Facebook, of course, came after that. Some groups started with the same name, and forever confuse the issue. So, orchids and onions everywhere.
I have a reply on your answer. He says, or she, they aren't in the paper anymore. The comic section is gone.
Do you mean in print? So that is something that has changed recently. The Sunday comics went to the e-edition, I want to say on Saturdays.
Are they in color?
They are in color. Okay. It's all color.
Yeah.
But that was a printing issue. Cost issue. I don't make these decisions.
He didn't know he was going to talk about this
now,
did he?
But they are in the e-edition. They're available online when you go on as a reader. So they're still available to everybody who wants them, but no, they're not in the inserted copies anymore.
Wow. I like the e-edition. It took me a minute to get used to, but I like it. Do you try it? Do you read it?
You know what? Not every day, but I do get the link, and when I have time, I like to scroll through, check it out.
Again, just a reminder, the candidates forum, primary candidates forum, is a week from today, 5 p.m. The doors open. You can come in, do a meet and greet with the candidates, walk around the concourse. They'll all have tables. Most of the time they do anyway. And we go live at 5:30 on 106.7, 5 and 3, The Voice of the Free, and at KNTRTalk.com will be streaming as well. I'm pretty sure we normally take a recording of the whole thing and post it there for a month or so, right? Until the election. So, and take it down. So, all right, we're going to take a short break. Again, we're with Michelle Ford, the Membership Investment Manager at Havasu Area Chamber of Commerce, and Brandon Bowers, the editor at the Today's News Herald. You didn't have to come that far today, did you?
I'm right down the street. Yeah.
I know. You're like, yeah. He's in the Main Street district now, right?
Yeah. We're up Upper McCulloch, so just over near City Hall in the courthouse.
Nice. Yeah. Perfect. All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us. Here's some Bob Seger to go out. I almost came in and went, oh, see, CC Rider, right? You've seen me do a little Elvis before, right?
Elvis. Home of Bebop.
Thank you very much.
My dad was a huge Elvis fan.
Oh, so was mine. Yeah. I have an uncle who, gymongous Elvis fan, and he was living in Vegas at the time. They've since moved back to Ohio, but when Elvis died, I remember the intersection he said he was at in Vegas, and he sat through three lights when he heard it. Three series of green, red, you know, yeah. Three in Vegas. That's like 90 seconds each, you know. That's like Vegas traffic lights are like Mulberry. Every single one of them.
Oh.
I'm not even kidding.
They take forever.
They sat through three when they heard Elvis died. You know, it was just sitting there
shocking.
In shock. Yeah. The whole world was in shock, basically. Anyway, Speak Out, of course, broadcasting from the kitchen with no sink, the Speak Out kitchen with no sink. I got to get used to saying it without the sponsor. All right. Also by Mojave Mortgage, we're brought to you by. We love those guys. Also Mojave Electric Cooperative, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, TWN Fiber Internet by Sammons Air Conditioning, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. Are you sensing a thing here? Right? Both communities? Right? Or all three, the tri-state. And from the mind of Dallas Finch, oh, we love that, right? Comes Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo.
Oh, yeah, I see your sticker on that water bottle.
That's right there.
That's
yeah.
Booby Falls.
But it's not his mug. It's my mug. And it is a sticker. So good call.
Mm-hmm.
Great pizza sandwich and salads, home to the Booby Dropper, Main Street, Havasu.
Nice.
Booby Dropper is this, from what I understand, or the rodeo part, it's both, is a... It's a mechanical bull, but it's like one that's out in front of the grocery store that you put a couple quarters in. And it's really dolled up and stuff, but that's the rodeo.
Okay. Been on it?
I have not. I'm not rated for it yet. I don't know if it can hold me. All right. Anyway, you have some events to talk about before we bring in Jenny Koch,
who is an incumbent
councilwoman.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we have our annual meeting and celebration of business happening on Friday, this coming Friday, the 12th of June, at the London Bridge Resort Convention Center. And I am so excited. Not only are we sold out, so sorry, people, you can't come unless you've got tickets, but it's Yacht Rock 2026.
Yacht Rock.
Yes.
Yacht Rock.
Yacht Rock. It's going to be so fun. And Janine Stamp is our incoming chair. And, of course, we're going to be giving away awards, community awards, and we've got ambassadors, and everyone's dressing up. It is going to be absolutely amazing. So for those of you that already got tickets, I can't wait to see you and shake your hand and say hello. Also, next week, the morning of the night of the candidate forum on the 17th, we have Minerva Graphics. And Minerva Graphics and Printing is doing the leadership lunch.
Alyssa's the bomb.
She's amazing. Yes. And actually, she's a new incoming board member for the chamber, which we're very excited about.
Nice.
And we've got Leroy's Pork and More as our lunch sponsor. So if you'd like to come to that, it's 11:30 on Wednesday the 17th until 1 p.m., and that's going to be taking place in the Chamber Conference Room. It's $5 to get in, and that comes with lunch, and the contribution helps the Leadership Lake Havasu program. So please come. We want to sell out that Leroy's Pork and More, and, of course, give Alyssa a great audience.
Where's Leroy's located, do you know?
They're a food truck.
Is that in the court there on Swanson? They were. I tried their food. It's amazing.
For people who are real barbecue connoisseurs, he's incredible, incredible barbecue.
They had mac and cheese and pulled pork together.
Oh, so good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and he's apparently got these fries not to miss. I haven't tried them yet, so that's why I'm hoping that for the Lunch and Learn, he's coming packing with some of those fries. So he has his own, fry recipe.
Well, if he wasn't, he is now.
Yes. Yeah. Did you hear that, Leroy? Okay. We also have some important stuff coming up in the fall. I know it might sound too early to talk about it, but really it's more like save the date because we're only in June. But on we're having something called the Parade of Homes and Industry Expo.
Okay.
So this is a two weekends back to back. The first weekend is October 10th and 11th. And then following that is going to be the 17th and 18th, right? So two weekends in a row, we've got the Parade of Homes both weekends. But then on the second weekend, we're having our Industry Expo to sort of wrap up the whole two-weekend event. And the Industry Expo is going to be happening at Rotary Park. So get all details. Oh, I got to hurry up. I'm getting the hook.
You're getting the 1 minute.
Get all details at havasuchamber.com. And last but not least, we are bringing back the pineapple races October 20th of this year from 4 p.m. until 8 p.m. at London Bridge Beach. So it's going to be Oktoberfest vibes. And please check out havasuchamber.com. This is our Chamber Hospitality Industry Alliance event. So come out and support and have a great time.
Is that teams then?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be funny if someone dressed their team up in a SpongeBob theme for pineapple? You know, he lives in a pineapple under the sea.
Well, it would be so on brand for what's going on at Grace Arts, right? They've got their SpongeBob, you know. Yes. That they just had their first weekend, and I heard it was amazing. And their next weekend is this coming weekend. So not to miss the SpongeBob at Grace Arts.
I wonder what the licensing costs on that, right?
I don't know.
For SpongeBob.
Yeah, everyone, go support Grace Arts because they've got some bills to pay.
it's a nice cultural outlet for the downtown area, for sure.
And my daughter saw the play, and she's listening right now. So, hi, Sophia. She said it was great.
Oh,
I wonder what music, you know, Best Day Ever has to be in there, right?
Oh, I'm sure. By the way, I almost forgot to say, because a lot of people say, what is the pineapple races? Because there's so many new people in town. It is an outrigger
boat
race. Mm-hmm. So,
how many on a team? Six, eight.
Okay, now you've got.
Well, because they all have paddles, right?
I promise that by October I'll have all those details
that's
worked
perfect.
Out.
Perfect. Well, you got all summer to work on
enough
it.
Enough to fit in an outrigger canoe. Okay, that's how many.
Thanks for being here. I'm playing one of these nights because it became the Eagles' first number one album and included 3 top 10 singles. One of these nights, Lion Eyes and Take It to the Limit on this date in 1975.
Wow.
That's crazy, right?
Yes.
Brandon, are you going to stick around?
I need to go to Rotary, but I'll stick around.
Oh, he's got to go to Rotary or he gets fined.
Yep.
She's trying to... Oh, it was released. But it did go to number one. All right. I got to go to break or my next guest is probably going to go, well, I guess they don't need me. All right. Jenny Coke up next. Stay with us on Speak Out. 928-854-5687. If you want to ask Jenny a question. Stay with us. We'll be right back. America, we have free and fair elections, right, Jenny?
That's right.
Allegedly.
Only problem is they say back to Oklahoma, and I'd say back to Nebraska.
No, see, I thought about that, and I was like, man, I wish I knew it was at that part, because I didn't want that to even be out there. You obviously aren't going back to Nebraska.
I'm not going back.
I had asked you that at one time, though.
You did.
Let's get into that in a minute. Not so much that, but some questions in a minute.
Sure.
Speak Out brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also by The Chair, Laughlin Ranch, by Mojave College, Shooter's Outpost, Solar Power by Esme Electric, by Doritos Place, Legacy Rehab and Care, and A&B Propane, online at ABPropane, AZ, KentUSA.com. And again, a reminder, the primary candidates forum a week from tonight, June 17th, 5 p.m., the doors open, and 5:30 is the broadcast live at 106.7, 5, and 3, and on KNTRTalk.com. As always, it's buy local or buy local. Congratulations to the hospital, by the way. I have to mention that because of the Leapfrog Award.
Leapfrog A.
That's big.
It is big. It is big. We're doing great things over there.
That's what does it mean, just, you know, in 30
seconds?
It's
a safety rating, basically.
Okay.
And so they rate us on all sorts of categories and areas, and we got an A, which is the highest you can get. So kudos to the staff. They do a great job.
It's funny. I knew about, I don't know, 2 weeks before you guys publicized it. Doug was with
Doug.
He didn't say anything on the air, though.
Oh, okay.
He just told me privately. So you are going you're in term number three?
Correct.
Term number three. Mm-hmm. Why did you run for council in the first place, and what do you remember about that race? How difficult, was it difficult, or was it smooth sailing? I asked Michelle the same question.
So originally, you know, when I started my career here in Havasu, I worked for the Chamber, got involved in the Chamber's leadership program, got involved in organizations. I've been a longtime member of Kiwanis. I was on the interagency board. I was on United Way, all of the boards. And after completing leadership, I just decided that I wanted to run for office, and I decided I was going to run for the state or the House, and the Senate or the House at a state level. And then at the time, my daughter was young. My husband and I, obviously, we needed two incomes. Mm-hmm. And it was real evident that I couldn't spend 100-plus days a year down in Phoenix and take care of my family and work full-time for the salary that they pay for that.
That's a rough gig.
At the time, Mayor Nexen was mayor, and we had a long conversation, and he had told me, you know, you're going to do your best work closest to the people, which is at the city. So why don't you run for council? And so that's how I got involved.
Was that an endorsement at the time?
No. He was just encouraging me, if that was what I wanted to do, that it was probably the best way to get started. And he was right. I got all my signatures, was going to be on the ballot in 2012, and then Sonny Borelli and Margaret Nyberg resigned to run for higher office. And there were 19 of us that applied appointed onto the council to fulfill their terms, and I was one of the two selected that evening. So that's how I got started in council. My first election was not the greatest introduction into politics. There was someone running for mayor against Mayor Nexen and had kind of a slate of candidates that they were running. It was really my first time I think I ever had such an eye-opening that people will literally say or do anything to break you down, whether they know you or not, and whether it's true or not. And I really was a naive young Nebraska girl that couldn't believe people would print things about you that weren't true, never even had talked to you.
2010?
That was in 2014.
14? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Wow. So you got to get thick skin real quick.
Yeah, you do.
So, no, my first election was not a great experience. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, I had great mentors and great people around me that kind of walked you through that first process.
I want to get into the city's support for tourism and economic development. So, as it currently stands, two organizations that receive taxpayer support and work closely with the city are Go Lake Havasu and, of course, the Partnership for Economic Development. Is there anything that concerns you about those two organizations, about their funding, how they're funded, how their use of funding? Is there anything you would change?
So my perspective for PED and the Go Lake Havasu is a little bit unique. I worked in that building. I actually started my career at Go Lake Havasu, which was then the Tourism Bureau. I worked there.
Was that Dan?
I was under Bonnie Barsness.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was my first job in Havasu. I was there a little under a year before I went over to work at the Chamber of Commerce with Lisa and the girls over there. So I have an understanding of how it operates. I have an understanding from being on. I sat for a few years on their board, different years on and off as a member of the council liaison. And then I also have worked hand in hand with the PED under Gary Kellogg and James Gray, and both served on their boards from time here and there. I don't so much. I don't have a concern with it as much as I understand it in a different way from being in the building and understanding how what they do affects our community. They have had challenges with CEOs. That is nothing new. I've seen a lot of CEOs at the CVB over the years.
Well, we're talking about Go Lake Havasu right now.
Right, so. Go Lake Havasu.
Of
so
course.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah.
CVB, Go Lake Havasu tours. When you've worked in the building, but I mean, that's, I think if you looked industry wide, I think you see that. So that doesn't concern me as much. We don't run the day-to-day operations of that organization. We contract them to do a service. And I am under the belief if they do the service that is within the guidelines of the contract, just like any contract for service that you do, we shouldn't try to interrupt the day-to-day operations of the organization.
Is that to say you want to keep that board driven or move them in-house under the city?
I don't feel that moving them in-house is a good idea.
Okay. How do you feel about the recent development that some employee files were taken out of the building? And, you know, those are private files and shared with other people.
Well, I will say that I don't think that flies in any organization. But the other thing I would say is I don't want to be involved in the day-to-day operations of Go Lake Havasu. I don't think we as the city need to try to run a nonprofit organization. I think we need to stick to the contract that we have with them and either have a new contract if we don't like this contract or end the contract if they're not doing what they're supposed to do. But if they're meeting the needs of the contract, that is what my concern is.
What do you see as the single most important issue facing Lake Havasu City right now, and what would you do about it as a council member if you could?
I don't know that there's one single. I don't think Havasu is in a bad place. I mean, we can always do more for streets. We can always do more for water and wastewater. We can always make those improvements, and every community is going to tell you that same thing. Same way with parks and recreation and amenities. We have to just keep evolving as our population evolves and changes, and there's always needs and wants, and obviously we prioritize the best we can with the money that we have. I don't have a stance that Havasu is so bad one way or the other that we need to worry about everything and everyone, and quality of life is really my main concern.
How should the Main Street Commons fit into the city's larger downtown strategy, or is that something that you would leave up to local business?
I mean, I think the downtown project was exactly that. It was meant from the Vision 2020 program to be a gathering space, and I think that's what we've created. It was a gathering space before the renovations to it and before the additions to it. I also have a different perspective on that because I was the person who put on events down there for the chamber for many years.
Right.
And it was a very big challenge to utilize that space so that all of our citizens could enjoy it, because it was not handicap accessible. It was not safe. And so to have a concession area where you can store things and run a concession stand, to have bathrooms you can open up and have available where you're not having to constantly pull in porta potties and so forth in that area, and then just have an area that is unique space for gathering and concerts and entertainment, I think we've seen through First Fridays, people enjoy it and they're enjoying it. Was it my first pick of the design? No, but we opened that up to the public. We had tons of public input. And, you know, I can't be in charge of what the public picks. The best I can do is when we make a vote at that council, whether I vote for it or not, it's the will of the council, and that's how we're going to go forward with it.
Are you happy with the design?
I don't think it's completed.
Do you think there's a return on investment? Do you think the city will maximize that investment? I've heard 2.1 million to 5.5 million. I mean,
so we had had $1 million. What was it? $1 million we won in the contest. Mm-hmm. We won 2 million, but 1 million for that.
Right.
And then I believe we had 975,000-ish of our money.
I think Jess said that came from the general fund.
The general fund,
yes.
And then there were other grants and so forth. So for the amount of money that we put into the commons, the space is usable for all people that have handicaps or no handicaps, children, pushing strollers, all of that. It's a great space. It's in the downtown area. that space, if we would have let that lot go, we would have never been able to get it back and make it something where people could gather. So for the purpose of the project to which we won the money, yes, I think we did good with what we had.
Okay. Is there a cause that you have championed since you've been on the council, and what votes are you most proud of? What issue have you personally brought to the table, placed on the agenda, and argued for passage during your time on the council? Is there a particular cause that you've known?
That's a long time, Paul.
It is a long time. It is a long time. But
I'll say two things, because mm-hmm. that's kind of a two-part question, so somewhat.
It is.
I was a big advocate to finish that, to get the courthouse done. We had talked about consolidating that courthouse and having a place that was for us, and kind of timing and everything that worked out with getting that building in the proximity to City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say I was happy to see that we got that done, and now we have a beautiful courthouse that has room for growth. The other part to that is that we now have a secure council chambers. The public must go through the security to get in, and we didn't have that before. And so for not only the council members, but for the public that come to the meetings, they can now kind of rest assured that we will be safe in our location. Something just recently that I brought to the mayor, and we've talked about, and we haven't fixed it. I don't know if we can completely fix it, but e-bikes was a big concern of mine. Mm-hmm. I'm a runner, and it was probably almost 2 years ago now when I went to the mayor originally and said, I was running in Rotary Park and I about got ran over. Like, partially my fault because I had my headphones in and I wasn't, but that bike was going too fast in that location with that many people.
Okay.
So that is an ongoing issue that I believe as a city will continue to watch and evolve and do what we can do within our abilities.
Okay. Is it the city council's responsibility to make sure this city supports local businesses, events, and community life? I'll have a follow-up to that as well as far as events go.
That's kind of an open-ended question. I think it's the city's responsibility to help businesses thrive by having a stable government where mm-hmm. people want to come in and invest and people want to live here and people enjoy living here.
Right.
So I think that's our responsibility. So when you say support events, I mean, obviously we do support events. There's a cost to events, and I know that because I used to put them on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm well aware of that, and I'm hoping that we are making things easy for businesses to come in and open, that we're making it as easy for developers to come in and do their projects. And I don't mean necessarily big developments. I mean these housing for workforce and those types of housing projects. We need to make it easy for families who want to come in and build a home, all the way across the board. So we need to be open for business. We need to be business friendly. But we also have to have a stable government that the citizens can trust so that they're comfortable investing here.
Okay. Major events like Desert Storm pay permit fees, obviously, to host their event. Do you think it's fair to those events that are charged fees, those fees, even though they're bringing in major sources of tax revenue? Do you think the fee structure is good the way it is?
Well, I think the fee structure has been a bit of a work in progress recently.
Wow.
I do think it's important with the necessary resources that we've had to purchase as a city for safety purposes and the time and the staff that it takes to put those out and get those in place to ensure that our citizens are safe.
Mm-hmm.
We can't incur that as a city if they're on the flip side making money on their event. So I felt the same way when we had Winterfest, right? We were supporting local businesses, we were bringing people in, but we were also making money. So we had to pay our fair share of the expense to set that up and to make sure that it was safe for the public.
Okay. We have a little bit of time left.
I feel like we're just racing.
2 to 3. Well, you're going pretty fast. You're doing a great job, though. Do you support the second bridge? And give us your interpretation of the project. What do you hope to achieve with that?
I do support the second bridge. I would not have went out and taken our general fund dollars or even CIP dollars at this point with how much we can still invest in roads and infrastructure to do it. But considering that Representative Biasucci and Senator Borelli and Regina and Representative Cobb were
right.
so strong in getting us the money for it,
if we didn't take the money and put it towards a bridge, they were just going to give it back to Phoenix.
In 5 years, right?
And so we need to do the project. We need to get the bridge done. It's been a concern. It's been a safety concern of a lot of residents. There's a lot of back and forth. Whose responsibility is it? I'm in complete favor of getting it done. But again, let's not just talk about it. Let's get it done. So I want to see the next 4 years to see that project through. I want to see Fire Station 7 get done. We have a lot of great things we're moving on, and I want to be here to keep moving these things forward and championing things that are going to make quality of life in Havasu better.
Okay. We need to wrap this up, and I'll have you on for another half hour. Why is Jenny Koch running for city council? You had a chance to just, you told me this privately, or you told us on the show as well. Why did you decide to run again for city council?
I mean, it sounds cliche, but I love Havasu. I mean, you've known me for many, many years. I've always been involved in Havasu. It's a passion of mine. I want to, even at my job at the hospital, I want to bring in good doctors to help take care of our community, and I want to take care of the community that was so good to me and my family. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, it's good for me. So I want to continue to move Havasu forward. I want to continue to make Havasu a great place to live, work, and play. And, you know, no, I have no agenda. I just want to continue to do the good work of the people.
Right. I was here when you were with the chamber.
I know.
I was on this show. Yeah, it was you and Lisa. And
we did the radio show all the time.
Were you part of the leadership class that built the stage?
No. My leadership class did the hiking trail at Sarah Park.
Oh, very good. Okay. Jenny, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Jenny Koch, our guest. And we'll have all of the council candidates on another half hour. We still have Terry Parcells, I think, on Friday. So, all right. Back with more in a moment. Again, thank you, Jenny.
Thank you.
All right. Stay with actually, I'm going to take this right up to Hannity. And have a great day. We'll have Ron Gould on tomorrow for the entire hour. So, join us for Speak Out tomorrow at 11 with Supervisor District 5, Ron Gould.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.